Moab was windy on June 13th in 2020. A lot of small but ill-fated circumstances would lead to Esther Nakajigo's death, but first there was the wind. Her friends and family called her Essie, and she was newly married. She and her husband were both new to the country. Essie was from Uganda. She had come to Boulder, Colorado to attend the Watson Institute. Her husband, Ludovic Michaud, is from France. He's a software engineer and was working in Denver when he matched with Essie on a dating app.
You know, immediately attracted to, her sense of humor, her brilliance. She was super smart, and I understood that very quickly. I immediately loved her right away, yeah.
They explored the West together, camping and hiking, although at first, Essie needed some convincing.
She was like, why are you guys sleeping on the ground? Like, normally it's for poor people in Uganda would sleep on the ground, but why would you play sleeping on the ground camping? And then she tried it. I was like, oh, that's so much fun. And
after they married, Essie became obsessed with having twins. Michaud didn't know why, but soon he wanted them too. That summer, they were closing on a condo where they could raise their future children.
You know, we're building, you know, something together, brick by brick.
Their courtship was during COVID. The national parks were closed for a time during the pandemic, their gates locked. But when arches reopened, like record numbers in the country, Essie and Michaud hit the road to visit. And a ranger opened those big metal traffic gates for people like them. The next fluke of fate was that one of those gates, near the visitor center, had two swinging sides. But there was only one padlock, so the ranger chose a side to secure to a post. The other was left to swing in the wind.
She was so excited. We were counting the, like it was planned a few weeks before, and we were just counting the days and the weeks until we would do that trip. And she was so excited to see, you know, the national parks in around Moab.
After hiking in arches, Essie and Michaud were driving that road in front of the visitor center when all these small occurrences collided. The wind, that particular side of the gate being unlocked, the fact that it opened against traffic, which it shouldn't have done. A gust blew the gate open just as their car passed. The metal bar smashed through the passenger side where Essie was sitting. It's brutal, but there's few other ways to say it. The gate decapitated her. It happened on the one-year anniversary of the couple meeting. Essie was 25. The federal government admitted fault, and last week a wrongful death trial began to determine how much the state will pay Essie's family. Her lawyers are asking for $140 million. It's not your average wrongful death case, because Essie wasn't your average woman.
Welcome to Africa's best high school reality TV show, The Saving Innocence Challenge.
Among a lot of things, she was a reality TV star in Uganda, not like the Kardashians, kind of the opposite. Her show Saving Innocence was about urban Ugandan youth visiting poor rural high schools. It documented what those two classes could learn from each other. When she was 17, she used her college tuition money to create a community health center. She was named Uganda's ambassador for women and girls, and she went to Brussels as one of only 16 to participate in the 2018 European Development Days.
Young leaders here, like Esther, will decide the future. This is Africa, and these are Europe's partners in Africa.
And the European Union is here today, and it's a strong pillar for us, the youth of Uganda, you know, to let us flourish and blossom.
That Watson Institute program she was in Colorado for is an accelerator for leaders around the world. She raised millions for at-risk women in Uganda. She won more awards than I'll list. At the trial, even her husband was taken aback by all her accomplishments in her short life.
Yeah, very surprised of how impressive everything was. I already knew, but I didn't imagine it was like this incredible.
Essie grew up in the slums of Kampala in Uganda. Her mother, Christine Nabagambe, says it was that experience that made her daughter focus on fighting for the disenfranchised. That's her mother, who flew to Utah with Essie's brother for the trial. She explains that Essie saw a lot of inequality in Uganda as a child. Her father was abusive, and her mother gave birth to Essie when she was only 16. When Essie was invited to the U.S., her mother was beyond proud. Essie told her not to worry, that she's come this far, and from now on, everything will be fine. Essie's brother, John Sekindu, remembers his sister as someone who defended others, even as a child. like the time he was in trouble at school and threatened with lashes.
So Esty came out of the blue, like, if any punishment is to be given to him, I would take it for him. And the punishment was 5 strokes of a cane. Like, she took it and I went home without any cane.
Esty was paying for her brother's university tuition. He hoped to join her in her work after graduation.
I was looking forward to becoming great with her, like, as a person.
Since her death, Sekindu has had to drop out. Esty also supported her mother, and she would pour a lot of the money she made from her TV show back into her charities. But in a twist of Utah law, Essie's giving could discount her family's wrongful death claim. The judge will be awarding money based off of their grief and loss, but also her expected income, what she would have earned in her life. The government is arguing that it isn't as much as her lawyers claim because she would have given much of it away.
It's a little disconcerting to hear the government make that argument that the judge should somehow discount her because the money she went out and earned, she might give to do good, and therefore her earning capacity should be discounted in terms of what she would contribute to the family.
That's Zoe Littlepage, a lawyer for the family.
Every day in Uganda, this trial was on the news, and the whole country of Uganda is watching America to see if America will value their, they called her the Princess of Kampala, if America will value their princess.
Littlepage says that Essie's family expects justice in the U.S. They look up to this country as somewhere where that's possible.
You know, and they're really putting their faith in the American justice system that she won't get discounted because she's African, or she won't get discounted because she's young, but that American justice will value her the way they do.
No matter what the judge decides as an appropriate value for Essie's life, her husband will still be struggling.
I'm committed to getting better, but it's a full-time job, I would say. You know, I had PTSD, so which means for the first weeks or months, I had like 100 of flashbacks in loop. Like, you see the scene like 100 times.
Nowadays, Michaud can be doing all right, just to have something remind him of that day, putting him back in the car with his dead wife.
Like the other day, I saw like, I think there was some roadwork or something, and I saw like a big white bag on the floor, and my head was a body bag, and I was just like put back into the scene in arches.
Many things had to go wrong to lead to Essie's death, but her short and impressive life was similar in a way. Because she grew up in poverty, to a child mother witnessing abuse and inequality, she was dedicated to helping others, and she became great because of that. Now it's her family's turn to try to find some strength from the tragedy of her death.
My name is Esther Nakajigo, the Uganda's ambassador for women and girls. I am a very happy person. I love life, and I am so grateful to God for all the opportunities He has given me. Esther means star. And also in the Bible, Esther was a queen, a selfless queen who was to die for the other people. And I think I'm trying to wave the flag for that.